listening to the teaching ministry of Uxbridge Baptist Church. If you would like to learn more about how we can be of service to you, please visit us at www.uxbridgebaptist.com.
I'm going to invite all of us to pray together. As we do want to celebrate. There's one other thing that I need to communicate to you. We have another birth in the life of our church family here. So we're very glad to offer our congratulations to Dan and Carlene Evans in the birth of Jax Evans. So Jax was born on Friday. So let's celebrate together with them. And we're delighting together with the entire Evans family. Would you bow together with me as the children are going to go out. We're going to pray first. All right, let's do that, and then we'll allow our children to go. Father, we are so grateful for all of these good things that we have to celebrate this morning. We recognize in them the grace of God to us in Jesus Christ. We thank you for all of our church family, from the youngest to the oldest, from those newest amongst us to those who have been here for many, many years. And we thank you that what binds us all together is the grace of God through the power of your Holy Spirit. And we would pray your blessing upon us this morning in all of these things. Lord, we recognize loss, and we pray for Nora Cullins and her family and the loss of her grandmother. We recognize the new gifts that you've given to us, and we pray for the Evans family in the arrival of Jax, and so many other, Lord, gifts that you have given to us. We recognize you and pray your blessing. We pray your blessing upon our children as they go to their time of special instruction this morning. Bless each one, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so we will ask our children then to make their way downstairs for their fellowship together and with their teachers. Thank you. And as they're making their way out, how about you find a Bible nearby and look to Luke chapter 2, that passage of scripture that we looked at earlier, Luke chapter 2. There are a few comments that we want to make. We're having baptisms in a few minutes, and we just want you to be excited about that. But always as we gather together under the authority of God's word. And let me remind you that it's God's promise that we have blessing and life, nourishment for our souls when we come under the teaching of God's word. And so that's what we want to do. And that means that we come with hearts humble, ready to hear. We come recognizing that it is God's word that is being spoken to us. And so we're eager to hear, eager to have light shed on our lives, and eager to be encouraged. So today we're looking at this wonderful story of the shepherds and of Mary and Joseph, the glory of the angels and the announcement of the arrival of Jesus, the Savior, who's God with us. We're in the midst of a series of sermons that I've called Adventrageous. Adventrageous. And somebody is wondering, is Adventrageous really a word? Is that really a word? Well, no, it's not. It's one that we've made up for this because it combines together the reality of the Christmas season, Advent, and the outrageous nature of that event, that God has come to us. Outrageous means shockingly excessive. It means wildly exaggerated. And that is the truth about Advent. It means very bold. It means unusual and startling. And that is the truth that we celebrate as we gather together and remember the gift of God to us. Last week we talked about outrageous promise. The fact that God speaks to us in terms of promise, and that strikes our lives in really quite a unique way. Firstly, it strikes our lives creating disruption. God doesn't allow us to settle into the places where we were before and the condition we were before, but God actually shakes us out of that. It causes disruption. But that disruption leads to grace. We see it as grace. We see that it's God's good work in us, and that leads us to hope. Today we want to talk about the outrageous wonder of Advent. Outrageous wonder. Do you know what wonder means? The dictionary definition is this: it's to think or speculate curiously. You know, when you just, oh. Or with awe, to wonder, like you would wonder about the origin of the universe or something like that. Another definition is this: to be filled with admiration, as to filled with amazement or filled with awe. And here's one other one. It's wonder is rapt attention or astonishment at something awesomely mysterious. How about that? Rapt attention or astonishment at something awesomely mysterious. Outrageous wonder is what Advent is all about. We have before us here the story of the shepherds in the fields and the announcement, this glorious announcement by the angels in the heavens about the birth of Christ, a story full of wonder. And if we are receiving this story as God gives it to us, we receive it with awestruck wonder. Did you notice as we read that story together that the shepherds were so filled with wonder, so overcome with this wonder, that they left their sheep in the dark of night to go and see the marvelous thing that God had revealed to them through the angels. And then once they had seen that with their own eyes, once they saw the reality of it, they went out and spread the word and were told everyone who heard that word was amazed. There is wonder and amazement all the way through. And then we see Mary herself here in this story being amazed and full of wonder. Did you catch how that worked in her heart? She stored up the memory of these events in her own heart. Didn't let one thing slip away. It's kind of like one stores up treasures for themselves. And like one who collects treasures, every now and again, Mary would go out and retrieve one of those precious memories. And she would study it, and she'd look at it from a number of different angles in light of the new things that have developed in the growth and ministry of the child Jesus. She would see it from all possible angles, wondering at its beauty. Advent is a time of outrageous wonder. Let me share just a few thoughts with you about this that I think will help us to enter into the glory of this wonder. Firstly, our God is a God of wonder. He is the God of wonder. Our God is a glorious God who is wondrous in all that he does. We love to sing a song around here written by Chris Tomlin, I think about 20 years ago or so, called God of Wonders. You know how that goes? God of wonders beyond our galaxy, you are holy, holy. The universe declares your majesty. You are holy, holy. There's another song that we love to sing. It's actually written about 350 years ago by a man named William Cowper. And there's a story. This is actually, at least the report is, that this is the last hymn that William Cowper ever wrote. And there's a fascinating story that goes along with it. He often struggled with depression and with doubt. And one night he decided he'd come to his limit and he was going to actually take his own life by drowning himself. And so what he chose to do was to call a cabbie and told the driver to take him to the Thames River in England. However, thick fog came down and prevented them from finding the river. And after driving around and lost for quite a while, the cabbie eventually stopped and let Cowper out. And to Cowper's surprise, he found himself on his own doorstep. God had sent the fog to prevent him from taking his own life, and in the midst of that very deep and black time for him, God showed his care and brought him right back to his own doorstep. The song that he wrote is this: God moves in a mysterious way, his wonders to perform. He plants his footsteps in the sea and rides upon the storm. Judge not the Lord by feeble sense, but trust him for his grace. Behind a frowning providence, he hides a smiling face. It's one of those songs that speaks about the wonders of God and his work in our lives. And our God is a God who's full of wonder. You know, we have a saying, kind of a recitation that we do. We say, God is good. You got it. I think we can do it a little bit better. So, God is good. All the time. No, you're pretty good at that. But listen, that is a wonderful thing for us to do. But I think we can add to that. So let's just add a little bit to that this morning. What I want to say is God is wondrous in all things. All right? So it follows the same pattern. So I think it's easy enough for us to do, even though it's early on Sunday morning. I'll say God is wondrous. You say in all things. Okay? God is wondrous.
In all
See if you can get it around. In all things,
God is wondrous.
God is wondrous. In all things, it's the truth. And that's what we are so delighted by. Advent is a time of special wonder. And it causes us to look beyond the ordinary things that we see in our lives and to the most extraordinary thing, the God of all wonder. There is no higher contemplation. There is nothing that is more astounding than the reality of God and his presence to us. We often see what is, you know, we often look for wonder, and sometimes we see it in the gaze, the wonder of a child when a child is seeing something for the first time. Our pastoral staff, our staff here was able to be together a week ago on Saturday night, and one of the things that we took note of was little Barrett, little newborn Barrett, who was beginning to focus on the ceiling fan in the middle of the room. And it was just going round and round, and he was watching it. And we were watching him and just saw the wonder in his own eyes at this thing going round and round. And before long, all the rest of us were watching this wonderful thing going round and round and round. There's a wonder in all of these things. But as we grow up, it seems that our capacity for wonder decreases. We kind of get to that place where we think there's not much more that can surprise me anymore, not much that will elicit wonder in my life. We've seen it and done it all, we think. There's nothing left to enrapture us, and we even get to the place where we smile condescendingly on those who think there is something to wonder about. But God will not allow us to have it that way. God will not permit us to continue in that way. In fact, to talk about God at all is to talk about the possibility of wonder. It's to acknowledge, even more than that, the necessity of wonder. If we really are talking about God, then it demands of us that we are filled with awe. Any God, you see, it works this way. Any God who is truly God can only be approached with a sense of wonder. I mean, we're talking about God. And God is beyond our comprehension. So he must inspire wonder in our hearts. If your God does not inspire wonder, then your God is not really God. The God of the Bible is a God of wonders. He's full of wonder, and he works all sorts of wonders. It might even be said that the history of God with his people is a history of God's wonderful working among them. God is wondrous. Let me try that again, okay? I'm trying to catch you. God is wondrous in all things. In all things, God is wondrous. It's not unusual, actually, for the nation of Israel. Pay attention. It's not unusual for the nation of Israel to be recognized as that group of people in amongst whom God has brought great wonders, and they encountered wonders. One person put it this way. They were cradled in prodigies. They grew up among miracles. They lived as men among marvels. The history of this favored of tribes is a long list of miracles. It's true. God did extraordinary things in Israel. Just think for a minute. Just cast your glance on these things in your memory for a moment. Abraham was provided with a promised son into his old age. An amazing thing that God had done for Abraham. You remember Moses at the burning bush? Moses was actually called aside because of the wonder that he had seen. This bush that was burning but was not consumed. Had never seen anything like that. And so turned aside because his wonder compelled him. It's amazing. You'll remember how the Lord brought Israel up out of Egypt. And the Bible describes this as God doing this with a high hand and an outstretched arm. And it was by all of God's great wonder that he brought them through the sea, through the Red Sea. And they were on the other shores, victorious over their enemies, the Egyptians. And it was there that they sang this song. Exodus 15 in verse 11, they sang this song. Who among the gods is like you, Lord? Who is like you? Majestic in holiness, awesome in glory, working wonders. Our God is a wonder-working God. And you remember as they went on their journeys through the wilderness those 40 years, it was a march of wonder after wonder. The manna comes down from heaven. The water flows from the rock. Every day was marked with wonder by these people. The pillar of fire by night closed out the day. And the pillar of cloud by day opened up their day. There wasn't a single day which they didn't take as a day when God's wonder was revealed amongst them. And you can go on in the story more and more. Gideon, we have to mention Samson and Elijah and Elisha. And you see wonder after wonder. God is a God of wonders. God is wondrous in all things. In all things, God is wondrous. In fact, there's an intensified clustering of wonder around the life and birth of Jesus. There's even a greater expression of wonders here. You remember the story of John the Baptist. It was his father, Zechariah, who also in his old age was given the gift of a son. And what awe that this brought to them. Zechariah recounted his experience in the temple. And as he told others, we find these words, Luke 1, 65 and 66. I think we've got these projected for you. All the neighbors were filled with awe at this news. And throughout the hill country of Judea, people were talking about these things. Everyone who heard this wondered about it. They were amazed about it, saying, "What then is this child going to be? For the Lord's hand was with him." And then the birth of our Lord himself, always accompanied by signs, the announcement of the angels, as we've seen, signs in the heavens like the star that brought the Magi, dreams that foretold what was going to come, as in Joseph's dream. We have a wonderful story with the old prophet Simeon, who is in the temple. Do you remember that story? And when he sees the Lord himself, the Christ child, he realizes that what he's been yearning for all of his life long is now finally revealed. And so we have his prayer from Luke chapter 2. "Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you may now dismiss your servant in peace. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all nations, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people Israel." Joseph and Mary heard the prayer of Simeon, the prophet in the temple, and the text tells us the child's father and mother marveled at what was said about him. There's all kinds of wonders in the story. God is wondrous in all things. I didn't cue you very well, did I? God is wondrous in all things. God is wondrous. Our God is a God of wonder. And God calls us into a recognition of wonder. I want to tell you that wonder exists. There is a reality of wonder. In all of this, we see what God has done in the people of Israel, and we say, well, that is great. But do wonders still exist today? Are there wonders in my life? And we frequently hear the complaint, you know, that we live in an age where there just isn't very much adventurous going on. There isn't very much of God's miraculous work going on. There are not wonders for us to behold these days. But we need to be careful in our thinking. We need to be true in our reflection before God, because there are all kinds of wonders that display the glory of God. And we need to be open to these things. The person who thinks that there are no wonders to behold in our time is somebody who must be either unspiritual or somebody who is just completely unaware of what's going on in their life as God leads their life. Psalm 78:11 says of these kinds of people, they forgot what God has done, the wonders he had shown them. They forgot. And we're not to be like those people who forget. We're to be like those who know the wonders of God. Do you have that experience? You see the hand of God in your life? You know the great working of God in your heart and around you? There are wonders all around us. Some people go to television to see something wonderful because life is just so dull. But those who walk with Christ, they are not people who give themselves to fiction to find some kind of excitement. We are those who know God's work in our lives. It's actually the celebration of those who know God and know his greatness that David captures when he says this in Psalm 78:4. "We will tell the next generation the praiseworthy deeds of the Lord, his power, and the wonders he has done." You know, it just ought to be our delight to say to the next generation how God has so worked in my life. I've got to tell you of the wonders that you can anticipate in your own life. Our God is a God of wonders. These wonders exist. Let me just take a moment. Let me just take a moment with you to think about some of these wonders that inspire us to wonder about God. Just some of the wonders that we come across every day. And if you're not of a philosophical cast of mind, you can take a little bit of a break right now. You can just kind of, you know, if this is something that kind of, you know, just doesn't work for you, that's okay. I'll call you back when the time comes. But this is it. You know, those people who just think about the wonders of our existence. Like, you ask, where does the universe come from? Just to take a few moments to wonder about that, the expanse of the universe. And where does it come from? You'll know that for a long time now it's been taught by our most eminent scientists that the universe was created by a Big Bang. And no matter what you think about that, you still have to ask the question, well, where did that utterly dense singularity in the beginnings of all things, where did it come from? Who put it in place? And still you have to wonder, is there not a God who is behind it all? And then you follow even some of the most recent astrophysicists like Stephen Hawking, who will say, well, no, it's not just one universe that is here, but there are multiverses, many different universes. And that's because Stephen Hawking, along with some others, don't want to have to conclude that it takes a God to create a universe, so they invent the notion of a multiverse. But still you have the problem, where does all of this stuff that comes, that forms the beginning of multiverse, where does that come from? And still, it causes us to wonder. And then you turn your focus inward and you think about human consciousness. You think about actually the human will. Do you recognize some of these characters? Inside Out. The human consciousness, it actually is an incredible wonder. Modern science, our science, has no way of explaining the mind. We just don't. We have a few chemicals that can alter the mind a little bit, but we don't have any way of explaining human consciousness. It's a complete conundrum. And then there's this whole matter of the human will. It's a contradiction. It's a flat-out contradiction for someone to say that random chance has created us, and yet we actually have the ability to make choices that are not predetermined. That's a flat-out contradiction. Where did freedom come from? Where did our ability to make choice come from? It causes us to wonder. There need to be answers to these things, and there are. The Bible reminds us that the wonder that pervades our universe is the wonder of God. The intelligence that is behind all things is the intelligence of God. The creativity and the free choice, the love that is behind all things, has its origin in God. I think I missed one. Is there another one that we have here? Sir? No, I did miss one, didn't I? The one about numbers. Ask me about numbers later. I mean, there are numbers. Even where there are no people, there are the reality of numbers and universals. I know. But philosophers talk about these kinds of things. And what they wonder is, how can there be such order and logic to our world well beyond the human mind? There must be a mind that invests creation with intelligence and intelligibility. You take all of those things and you go beyond all of that. There are wonders in the incarnation. So if you've taken a little bit of a break, you can come back now because I think this might be a little easier to understand. But the wonders of the incarnation, this thrills our hearts. It's the wonder that God has loved us so much that he's not left us to destruction, but he's come to rescue us from our sins. It's a wonder that God has come amongst us and made himself present to us. Just to think about that inspires you, causes your heart to be filled with awe. The wonder that divine and human natures have been perfectly joined together in the one person of Jesus Christ and will never be separated for all eternity. Brothers and sisters, that's a wondrous thing. The wonder that we've been justified by faith through the substitutionary sacrifice and death of Jesus Christ on the cross, that's wondrous. The wonder that the Holy Spirit of God dwells within us as followers of Jesus Christ. That is amazing. The wonder that God actually hears and answers our prayer is an extraordinary wonder. The wonder of what we will become when the grace of Jesus Christ has its full effect in our lives. It's far greater than the most far-reaching imagination can identify, that we will be like Jesus, for we'll see him as he is. And can we really think, with all of these things, that we have exhausted the wonders of Advent? If you are entering into the season, you need to enter in a way where you see the wonder of God displayed, and it just silences you because of the glory of God amongst us. God is wondrous in all things. In all things, God is wondrous. One last thing I want to share with you is this. There is the experience of this wonderful God in our lives. And I think it's right for us to ask the question, how can I experience the wonder of Advent? How can I actually have my life open to know and experience this wonder in our lives? There's a promise that God gives us. Our folks are getting ready for baptism, and we're excited about that. There's a promise that God gives us, and that promise is this from Jeremiah 33 in verse 3. Come to me and I will answer you, and will tell you great and hidden things that you have not known. God is the God who promises us that he will open up the wonders to us. And here's how we receive those wonders, the experience of wonder. How can I experience the wonder of God in Advent? It's this. I must be open. I must be open to greater wonder. This is important. I just need to be open to the wonder that presents itself to me. Wonder signifies an awareness of something that's truly important, something magnificent, doesn't it? Wonder speaks about something that is so high and glorious, and it's taking place right amongst us. When we're in the presence of wonder, we're in the presence of something truly great. And if I'm not open to greater wonder, then I'm never going to be persuaded by it. If someone says, you know, I just don't believe, I don't believe in the air because I can't see it, I can't touch it, and because I can't see it, I'm justified in not believing it. So I'm not going to open my lungs to it, and that person is not going to be able to breathe, and not going to be able to experience the fullness of life because they're not open to the wonder of that. I must be willing to entertain the idea that there is a reality greater than what I can know. And I have to resist the pressure that's all around me to flatten the universe into two dimensions. God is great and full of wonder. I need to cultivate a sense of wonder. There are some people who go about their life just indifferent. Have you seen those kind of people? You know, nothing interests them. Nothing catches their attention. It's just all blasé, and everything is just ordinary. They're underwhelmed by everything. You say something to them, and they say, so what? So shrug, so what? You know those kind of people? People who are not open to greater wonder. And sometimes I think this is conditioned by our culture. I think actually the dominant features of our culture remove wonder from our experience. It's because we are conditioned to the natural. We're conditioned to see things only in the natural. And much of our culture has the effect of stealing away that wonder, even from our everyday lives. It's our secular society that believes that we've matured. We've grown up to the point where we don't need to believe in invisible things anymore. We don't need to believe in the supernatural. That kind of superstition, well, that was fine for our ancestors when they didn't have all of the benefits of science the way we do, but we're men and women of the 21st century. We know the mechanics of cause and effect, and we no longer need to resort to God and angels and demons and other invisible things to speak about the reality that goes on in our world. We don't need them for our understanding. And so what happens? We grow older. And we believe we grow more worldly wise, and we unlearn wonder. We set wonder aside. And we have, seen ourselves as though we're masters of the mundane, because all that's left is the mundane. And the result is predictable. Our culture, our world is starving for wonder. Wonder is right there, and it is there for us to experience. Wonder is a discipline. The first step that we need to take is just open ourselves to the wonder that is there. Someone put it this way. Wonder begins in the senses, comes alive in the imagination, and flourishes in the adoration of the divine. We're open to the wonders of the world that God has made, and we see in our own, we allow our imaginations to be influenced by that, and it comes to its full flourishing when we see God in his wonder and adore him. If I'm to experience the wonder of Advent, I must be open to that, to greater wonder. And then this, I must be open to the greatest wonder. I must be open to this. What I mean by this is, if God is truly God, if God really is God, then he exists beyond our ability to understand. And if we can't understand all there is to know about ourselves, how can we possibly think that we'll be able to understand the God who transcends everything? He is a God of wonder. I'm sure you often hear someone say, as I do, I can't believe in God. I won't believe in God because I can't see him. It reveals such confusion in their lives, such confusion, because God is not a visible thing alongside other visible things. We can't just say, well, here, let me get God. I'll just get him out of the closet. I'll bring him out and stand him right in front of you so you can see God. That is not God. That's not who God is. By definition, God is the invisible God, the God who transcends sight and sound and touch. He's the maker of all things visible, and so he can't be reduced to things that are visible. That's just who God is, wonderful God. It's the fool who says he won't believe in God because God displays the qualities of God and not of created things. God, because he is God, will always be wonder to us. He will always be mystery to us. To know God is not to reduce him to something that we can understand by, you know, some mathematical equation or by some scientific theory. To know God truly is to know him as the God who is mysterious beyond our ability to penetrate. That doesn't mean we don't know God, but it means we know God in his wonders. It's not superstition. It's not superstition that causes people to be filled with wonder at the holy God. It's because we truly encounter the God who is full of wonders. That's why we believe in him. God has come to us, and we're overcome with amazement and wonder at the God who is. If you don't know what that means, you don't know the outrageous wonder of Advent. Advent is this time of just incredible, awe-inspiring wonder. And I want to encourage you this morning as we think about that, this extraordinary wonder of God, that you enter into the joy, into this wonder that we celebrate so rightly. Our God is wondrous in all things. In all things, God is wondrous. Let's pray together. Our Father, we thank you that you are the God who is great beyond measure. Father, we thank you that you have come and truly revealed your wondrous character and your wondrous works to us. And our Lord, we confess that so often we get caught up in the mundane and we forget to see what is behind and beyond it all. Thank you, Lord God, that you have revealed your wonder in Jesus. Thank you that at this Advent season, we can be reminded of that in a special way. And we would ask, Lord God, that you'll open our eyes as you did to the shepherds, as you did to Mary and Joseph, as you did to the people around who heard the news. Open our eyes, open our hearts to the wonder of wonders. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.